Listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He
as a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Good afternoon and welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall, and my co-host with me today is
Minister Jordana Cunningham. Hey, y'all.
Praise the Lord. And if you were with us last week, you listened to a conversation along the way, and we were just sharing just from our hearts, our journey and what the journey looks like, some of the things that the Lord was showing us. So this is basically part two of a conversation along the way. So I'm going to open up in prayer, and then we're just going to jump off wherever the Lord leads us to jump off today. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Glory and honor to your name. We exalt you this day. Thank you. Thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. You created this day. And you have handled everything concerning this day for us. And we say thank you. And we receive the goodness that has been laid out before us. We thank you, Lord God, that we are never forgotten. We're never forsaken. We're never left alone. You are always with us. Even if we don't feel like it, it's not about feelings. Because the truth is that you said that you would never leave us
Thank
and
you,
that
Lord.
You would never forsake
Thank
us.
You, Lord.
And so despite whatever it is that we might be feeling today, we can acknowledge this truth that you are with us
Thank
in
you.
It.
Thank you, Lord.
No matter what this day looks like, we can know that when we turn our eyes toward you, when we look to the hills from whence cometh our help cometh from the Lord, we know that you have prepared a way, because you always prepare a way of escape. You always cause us to thrive and to be victorious.
Thank you, Lord.
And we set our minds and our hearts toward you in this day, in this moment. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us through your precious Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Show us what you want us to see in
yes,
this
Jesus.
Day.
Yes.
We surrender our minds to you. We surrender our hearts to you. We surrender these physical bodies to you. Do what only you can do in and through us. We thank you for this opportunity to be here, to share on this internet radio, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you that the words that will go forth today will have great purpose and will bring forth a great harvest in this season. We thank you that out of the darkness, the light shall shine. Out of the darkness, the light shall shine. And we praise you for this. And we thank you. Our hope is in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory
amen.
To God. Hallelujah.
You are such an intercessor.
He is worthy. He is worthy. I know. I know. I always pray like an intercessor. Even I don't set out to pray as an intercessor, but I end up interceding. Amen. So what I want to talk about first is I had an experience this past Saturday. I was invited to a dear friend. She's like a daughter to me. We were in ministry together in an intercessory prayer ministry. And she was ordained as a prophet this past Saturday. She's always been a prophet, but there was an acknowledgement before man and before God that she was accepting this calling. And so it was a public declaration that she was stepping into this position. But it was a glorious, time, and the Spirit of the Lord was high. Prophetic words went forth. And the apostle who spoke that day, I'm trying to remember. Well, anyway, maybe by the end of my conversation, I'll remember her name. But she gave a message that was entitled
Unapologetic Yes.
An Unapologetic Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that really struck me, because basically what she was saying, that when God calls you to something, that you don't need man to validate what God is calling you to do.
Say so.
You need to be confident in knowing that this is what God is calling you into, and that you move into it and just trust God. So I was encouraged and strengthened not to be concerned so much about what people think in terms of how I do ministry,
mm-hmm.
to just be led by the Spirit.
Right, right.
and just allow God to do through me what he wants to do in this season. And to just rest in that. Just literally just rest in it.
Absolutely. Two things that came to mind when thinking about what God has called you to, what some of the burning passions are that in your heart. So this kind of connects to what we talked about last week. One of the things that I know I myself have sometimes shied away from is that when others see things in you and they call you out on it, and they see the gift that God has placed in you, there is no, what is the word? Not shame, but you don't have to shy away from other people recognizing the greatness that God has put in you.
Right.
Sometimes we try and act like super humble, and there's nothing, I mean, of course, humility is a good thing, but there is no need to deny or to downplay the place that God has put you in or the gifts that he has placed in you when other people recognize it. And then conversely, when other people don't see it and don't understand, that you can still rest because God's word is true. And the beautiful thing is, you know, sometimes he will confirm a word through a man, but even if he doesn't, and with your own personal relationship with God, it is okay to just stand on the word of God.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word that you spoke about, humility, because the great lesson that I've learned, sometimes we try to be humble, mm-hmm. not really understanding what humility is. Because humility isn't something on the outside. It's not an outward action, but it's a condition of your heart. And Jesus was very humble, but he was also very confident and he was very bold.
Absolutely.
He knew his assignment. He had an unapologetic yes.
Amen. Amen.
He didn't try to justify it to other people why he was there. He knew that some people would believe and some people wouldn't.
Say so.
He accepted that. And because he is saying to us that as he is, so are we, that he has given us the authority and the permission to move as he moved in the earth.
Amen. Amen.
And I think the best thing to begin to study, especially if you're early on in your calling, is to study the life of Jesus and how he moved through the earth and how he loved people, because that's the other thing that the apostle was talking about, that love has to be that banner.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be the banner for your ministry, because it doesn't matter, you know, how gifted you may be. But if those gifts aren't moving in love, then they're empty. They're empty, and you will not see the impact. Because God so loved the world, and we see the impact of God's love for the world.
Amen.
That he would give up his only begotten son, that Jesus would come in and take on a flesh existence, be the Son of God as well as be the Son of Man, and come down where we were, because we were still enemies.
Amen.
Enemies of God, and he came down to where we were.
Amen.
And opened his arms and said, come.
And said, come.
And said, come. So Is there anything you want to say before I read a couple of...
So, in your prayer, because my thought before you even started praying was, as I'm looking out the door to the backyard, and we live in the DMV, so there is snow on the ground, and our trees are bare. It reminds me of one of the favorite little revelations that Jonathan and Melissa Helser shared in one of their YouTube videos. Jonathan and Melissa Helser, are worship leaders. They're so much more than that, but one of the things that they are worship leaders. And she shared how God took her out into her own backyard and showed her through nature and through this winter time, because the trees were bare as well when she got when the Lord gave her the revelation about how far she can see because the trees are bare. And the revelation that God shared for her about the necessity of seasons and the necessity of times of barrenness, and when things seem to have slowed down in, you know, fruit-bearing seasons as opposed to winter seasons when things are kind of like buckling down for the weather. And then I also looked up and saw an abandoned spider web. And that also made me think about how, you know, spiders, they spin a web, and while it's useful, they use it. And then when it's no longer useful, they let it go and they start again. And sometimes we as people, we build a thing and we hold on to it long after it's served its purpose. And we don't let go of it.
Wow, that's good.
And I thought about a recent novel I read where there was a quote from someone, and I can't remember offhand, I'm going to paraphrase, but the quote was basically saying that the balance of life is learning how to let go and to hold on at the same time, and all the beauty and balance is found in what to let go and what to hold on to. And so my thought was just the importance of seasons and the importance of, you know, fruitfulness and harvest and working, and then the importance of rest and the importance of times where it's quieter and where, you know, there's not a lot happening, and just being okay with whatever season you find yourself in, even in this new year, that whatever it looked like last year, that this is a new season. And as we are in this winter season for most of us in the country, in this country, in America, that we can just take that as a, you know, a physical lesson to what God is doing with us internally. And then looking at where you are, like, what is the season I'm in? And what mm-hmm. and where am I supposed to position myself while I'm in this season?
Amen. Amen. And I think that this is a good moment to stop. Here we are at the beginning of 2019. It's a good time to stop and take a look at where you are and what God is speaking to you in this moment, and where you are headed, because you are no longer where you were in 2018. 2018 has played its part, and now you're moving into 2019, and there are some things that you will probably have to leave behind in 2018 to make room for what God is introducing in 2019, and to be ready to always be in a position of not holding anything too tightly, to be able to let go when it's time to let go. Because we live in this world that things are always changing. Things are always shifting and moving. And we want to be able to shift and move with the changes and how things are moving. We see things in the natural changing, as you were talking about those seasons. But spiritually, there are seasons. and things are shifting and changing, and you need to be able to see what season your life is in the moment. And it's going to require a little slowing down, because I think the enemy of really being able to see in the spirit realm is being busy in the outer. And so sometimes we have to sort of let go and release some things that are keeping us busy and just take a moment to slow down and just have God speak to you. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, what I've discovered is a lot of times, you know, you'll sit down with the whole purpose of seeking God, to hearing from God. And sometimes you're praying, you're worshiping, you're doing all this, and you don't really hear anything. You feel good, you feel restful, you feel peaceful, you feel joyful, but you don't get a specific word. And in a moment where you're just kind of lounging around, doing nothing, minding your own business, and God starts to speak. So what that says to me is that I just need to be in a place of rest. And that there are times I think that God may ask you to pursue something. But a lot of times, some of the greatest revelations that I have had, I wasn't pursuing them. They just came. Mm-hmm. They just came. In a moment, I could have been washing dishes, or I just happened to walk into a room and look out a window, or even in the bathroom, sit down on the toilet. And all of a sudden,
and that's personal.
Well, that is personal.
But that's real.
But that's real. You know, and then God speaks, and
because everything is Jesus,
right? And you know, and the thing is that, you know, we are so groomed in this world to always work and labor at things, you know. From the time you're in school, it's, you know, it's all about earning your grades and earning this so that you can have this, and to, you know, so it's always about this labor, and we don't really know how to be. We don't know how to just live and move and have our being in Him without achievement.
Mm-hmm. Without the labor.
Because Jesus has already done everything. So we're on a journey of discovering who we are as this new creation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think that we can control our growth.
Amen.
When God is saying, let go. I began this work. And I'm the one that's going to finish it.
Amen. You didn't save yourself.
You didn't? Nope. You may want to think that, I gave my life. No, I came and I got you. And you said yes.
Yeah.
But it was all part of my plan. I knew the right moment that you would be ready to receive. Because what I love about God, He doesn't waste any energy. Now, we may do some wasted energy. Sometimes we, in our desire to help someone, we'll waste energy because we don't understand that a person is not going to receive something until they're in that place of receiving. Mm-hmm. You can't force anything on anyone. You can talk till you're blue in your face. But if they're not in that place to receive, they're not going to receive. And the only way you can know this is by staying connected in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because God will show you everything. And you won't be spinning wheels and wasting your energy when you're flowing with him.
Amen.
You know, we spend a lot of times trying this and doing this.
Striving.
And it doesn't quite work out. It's half successful. Or it's successful for a moment and then it starts to go downward. And it's because we haven't really allowed God to do what only he can do. He is the one that can take a small amount of nothing and turn it into a great something.
Absolutely.
A great something. I want to read this out of Watchman Nee. This book by Watchman Nee, who was a great minister in China. And these are writings from messages in sermons, and it was put together in a book, in book form. And the title of the book is Christ, the Sum of All Things. And this one statement jumped out at me, and it says, each time you touch Christ and not conduct, you touch life.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again. Each time you touch Christ and not conduct.
Behavior, actions.
That's right. You touch life. And so what happens, because I think about the beginning of my life, it was all about my behavior, my conduct.
Your performance.
Yeah, where I went, who I, you know, the whole thing. What I, you know. How often I went to church, and yes, I mean, it was all about that. And it was through the process of faltering and failing. Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm bad, you know, that you begin to realize, okay, there has to be more. There has to be more, because according to what I'm reading in the scriptures, especially that scripture where he says even greater things, and I'm thinking like, well, I'm not going to get there doing what I'm doing right now.
How, Jesus?
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is up and down and in and out. And so what Watchman Nee is saying, that it's not about your behavior. It's not about what you do. It is about touching Christ. Christ in me is the hope of glory.
Mm-hmm. Relationship.
Relationship. Making that spiritual connection. And then that brings back to me the scripture about seek ye first
the kingdom.
The kingdom. And all this other stuff will be added. Amen.
Amen. Oh, was that a lob to me?
Yeah, I'm throwing the ball over to
in my court.
Is there something that you want to?
No, other than even you just bringing up Watchman Nee makes me think of, and I still don't remember what I read, but this is just the joy of being on a journey with God, is that you had me read a page out of Watchman Nee's book, and my eyes started leaking, and by that, of course, I mean I was crying, but it wasn't conscious, and I felt like my DNA changed. And I don't have an explanation for what that really feels like, and I can't point to anything that has significantly changed in my life from reading that book, but I just remember I was standing in the kitchen, I read the book, I looked out the window, my eyes were leaking, I was like, I don't know. I felt like my whole life just like shifted, and I have no idea what I actually, well, what was actually imparted to me when I read that, because I can't recall what the page was. I don't even know if I read it again, if I would recognize whatever revelation was dropped into my spirit. But it's funny, because sometimes you just have experiences with God that kind of shift and change your life, and you don't have any words to put to it. There's nothing that can describe it, but it is just one of those interesting things that happens when you're just on a journey with God. And I was just like, I don't know, I just feel like my whole life is changed right now. I don't know what that means. And so I just remember that moment in the kitchen.
Yeah. I mean, there are times when he touches you so deeply. When the Lord, he touches you so deeply in the spirit that you can't even put words to it. You can't even begin to explain what that means. The other thing that that I'm thinking about that the apostle said, in fact, I found the document with her name on it. Apostle Valerie Jackson, and the ministry is Made in His Image International Ministries, and it's in Oxon Hill, Maryland. So another thing that she was saying was that when God calls you to put your hand to something, he gives you a vision, that there's no prerequisite to the calling. There's not something that you, some requirement that you've got to meet. And she was reading out of Jeremiah when he was speaking to Jeremiah and saying that he knew him before he was formed in his mother's womb. Mm-hmm. And he had already called him. So when he came into the earth, he already came with that calling on his life. Mm-hmm. So his journey was in discovering that God had already, before he even came into the earth realm, God had already called him as this prophet. Mm-hmm. It was already in him. It was part of his design. Mm-hmm. It was part of his creation. Mm-hmm. And he came in there. And that's the other thing. So when we, because we spend a lot of time saying, oh, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? What is God's purpose for my life? Why are you laughing?
Because the way you're saying it, like, oh, God, I just, you know.
Yeah,
almost
I mean,
kind of like
people,
a whiny, desperate.
Yeah, people spend a lot of time on, you know, I don't know what my purpose is.
That was me. Go ahead.
And you just, and the thing is that, well, at least one day what God spoke to me is that you are the purpose. Your very being is the perfect purpose. So it's about self-discovery. It's about discovering who you are in God that helps you to know that this is what your purpose, because what purpose is just functioning out of who you are. But if you don't know who you are, then you may start to imitate other things and just come up with stuff. Mm. But in your relationship with God and discovering who he is, you start to discover who you are. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to live out of that. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And sometimes that might feel uncomfortable, people. Just get ready. I'm just saying.
Right. We just read a piece that I forwarded to you. And let me see if I can find it, because she talks about motivation. Well, you know what? I think the easiest way is to go to my sent folder, because then I can find out what did I send you. Oh, there we go. All right, I'm going to read this one. Make a thorough examination of yourself and circumstances to understand why you do what you do. Now, the writer of this is Marsha Burns. And she and her husband have a prophetic ministry.
Well, so tell me if they can sign up for the devotional.
Yeah, you can. You can sign up for the devotional. It's Faith Tabernacle of Kremlin. Kremling. That's someplace out in the north, but just go out on the internet and look up Faith Tabernacle of Kremlin, Kremling, or look up Bill and Marsha Burns, Burns, and it'll pull up their their ministry, and then you can actually, some of them, that's the other thing about prophetic words, especially the ones that you receive, that someone puts out mm-hmm. on a daily basis. Sometimes it'll be for you, and sometimes it's not. So you have to be in a place where you understand what word is for you. Mm-hmm. So you're just not eating indiscriminately, mm-hmm. but you understand what specifically you need to eat in terms of fulfilling
yeah.
that hunger, mm-hmm. right? So in this one that she writes, she says, make a thorough examination of yourself and circumstances to understand why you do what you do. When you get to the bottom of your motivations, you will be able to separate right from wrong. You will be able to see whether or not your actions are consistent with the truth and my word, says the Lord. Do not be afraid to look.
Jesus.
And then she has underneath that the scripture from Psalms 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life. And it's a good thing to take a moment and say, why am I doing this? I mean, what's the real motivation behind it? I think earlier today we were talking about trying to please other people, living life in a way that is requiring the approval of others. Mm-hmm. And how that can sometimes lead you off on a journey that's not your journey.
Well,
because it's all about how people see you, how you're being perceived, how they are receptive to what you're doing. And at some point you have to, I remember what this is making me think about is this one moment I was in our old apartment on Brinkley Road, and I'd been reading and praying and worshiping, and I was crying. I was in the middle of a tremendous transition. I had left a family ministry that I had been involved in for about 14 years, and I was setting out on a new course, and I wasn't certain where I was going, and I understood that certain people wouldn't understand why I made the decision that I made to leave the ministry and question my motivations, and even losing people along the way out of following God, and I knew that making that decision would be risking losing relationships. And I just decided in that moment, as I was crying out to God, that if everyone left me, that I would be satisfied with just me and him, just me and the Lord. And you, and I believe that you have to make a decision about that, because sometimes you know, we depend so much on our relationships with our spouses, or our relationships with our children, our relationships with our friends, our relationships with our churches, and all of those things, we're so dependent upon them to make us feel complete. But you have to, at some point, make a decision that, you know what, God, if I lost all those things, I know that I'm going to be all right. And that where I find fulfillment and completion is in you. Only you can really provide that. Everything else is just a blessing. It's just additional blessing. Amen. Is there something you want to...
So last week, I opened up the book, the Bible, to some of the names of God. So I opened it up again. So I'm just going to read a couple of them, and then there's a scripture. God is an advocate. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is our Amen. He is the author of eternal salvation. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the branch. He is bread of God. He is the bread of life. He is the captain of my salvation. He is the holy child, the little child, the cornerstone, the counselor, the day spring. He is the desire of all nations. He is everlasting Father. He is the faithful witness. He is the first begotten. He is God forever blessed. He is the governor, and he is the head of all things. Then I was just looking at Psalms 39, starting at verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man from iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. And it's so interesting how when you read scriptures and you think about the process that everybody goes through, sometimes, and even though it is written in a certain form of writing that may not seem common to others, but we all go through moments in our life where we're like, what is this all about, God? Like, you know, if there's a place of, you know, it looks like there's barrenness in your life and you're like, everything is vanity. Like, why am I here? What am I doing? And the writer talks about, like, what am I waiting for? And then he says that my hope is in you. Like, all of this other stuff that is happening may be vanity, but my hope is in you. And so the beautiful thing is that when you read the scripture, you can see that we all are going through this process. So the folks who were around when Jesus was born and the folks who were around in 2019, we're all in the same process. We all have these emotions and these moments and these
questions.
Thoughts. Yes. And it's okay to question. Like, mm-hmm. God isn't going to be offended by your questions, whether you say it out loud or not. He knows your thoughts. He knows your inner motivation. So there's no need in acting like you don't have a why. If you have a why, that's okay. That's okay. You know what I'm saying? And if he chooses not to answer, you got to be okay with that too now. You may not be ready for the why.
Amen.
Hello? So, but the joy is knowing that we're all in this together. We are all in this together, and we all have our moments and what we hold on to. Like I said before, the joy and letting go and holding on is that, you know, God is our truth. You know, he is our lover. He is our father. He is our brother. And there's no good thing that he wants to withhold from you.
Amen. Amen. There's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
There's nothing that man goes through that's uncommon. When I look at what's happening in the world today, what's happening in our country today, what's happening with our government, and just all the negativity, these racial wars, and that's not new. There's nothing new about that. I mean, when you read the scriptures, you know, the story with Jesus and the Samaritan woman, you know, people didn't even, the Jews went around Samaria. They were just like, you know, the untouchable group of people. And the Jews looked down on the Samaritans, and Jesus went straight in there. In fact, at their request, he remained a few days with them and taught, and people were saved there as a result. And so I think that what we have, when we see the things that we see going on in the world today, we need to connect it to what we've read in the scriptures. Because God has prepared us for everything that will ever happen.
Amen.
There are assurances and promises for us, no matter what the season is. Mm-hmm. And he talked about these times. He talked about people being given over to delusional thoughts and thinking. He talked about times when people it would be easier for them to believe lies and rumors, wars and rumors of wars, and the fact that the poor will always be with us because man is always in order. In fact, as when we were talking earlier today, is what I was recognizing, that this whole system, that's this worldly system and these governments, they're set up in a way that there always has to be someone on top and someone on the bottom. So you're going to always have the privileged and the underprivileged, because that's what makes this particular setup, this world's government, works. But Jesus came to introduce a kingdom that with a government that was beyond this world's kingdom and this world's government. And if you've given your life to Christ, you now are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so when we are looking at what's going on around us and the uncertainty of it all, what we have to look for is the things that we are certain of. We are certain that we are children of God. We are certain that God is not going to leave us or forsake us. We're certain that Jesus said that we can be of good cheer. We don't have to tremble or be fearful or be afraid, because he has overcome, he has conquered this world for us.
Amen.
And if you are shaking and trembling during this time, it's a time to recalibrate and see that, okay, I have placed too much stock on the treasures of this world. And now that I see stuff shifting and crumbling, I cannot be steady in this state because my treasures were not in heaven. They were in the things of this world. Mm-hmm. And now that the things of this world are shifting and crumbling, I find myself unstable. I'm unstable in my thoughts. I'm unstable in my emotions. This is an opportunity to recalibrate and to refocus. Refocus your thoughts and see that I've been putting more confidence mm-hmm. in my job, in people, in the government, in these government leaders. I've put too much confidence in that. And as a result, I'm on shaky ground. So it's a time to recalibrate. And my prayer today that this truth will go forth. A spirit of truth will go forth and speak to your hearts in this season, because there's something for you to do. You're not here just to go through things and be up and down and go through this and, you know, overcome. You are here to expand the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God, there is peace, mm-hmm. there is love, there is joy. Mm-hmm. There's reconciliation. I mean, all these things are part of the kingdom of God. And so my prayer for you today, no matter where you are in the process, no matter what's going on around you, I want to encourage you to not judge by the things that you see. Because all of this stuff is temporal. So all this stuff that you see happening today is not forever, because something else is going to move and shift and change. But your hope needs to be anchored in the Lord,
who changeth not.
Same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
He is our amen.
Amen and amen and amen. So, the world needs to see the manifestations of the sons of God. That's what they're waiting on. Their souls are crying out for it. All creation is crying out for it. So this is an opportunity, this is a great opportunity for us to move into a deeper place with the Lord. The Lord of the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Then last, before we close, I want to read this excerpt from this book, Rooted, that was written by Bannon. What's his last name?
Just say Bannon. Yeah. He's from Jesus Culture. Right. They have a church out in California.
And I wrote this excerpt, and it says, there is an anointing that is found only in one place. You can go to as many conferences as you want, but you will not find it there.
Say so.
God reserves certain things to be found only in the secret place alone with Him.
Amen.
If you want to receive them, you have to separate yourself to the inner room of prayer. God lives on the inside of you. So when you go in, that's where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. And, I mean, conferences are nice. Conferences are nice in the sense that you get to be around a large group of people who are on the journey with you and who are seeking to continue in this self-discovery of being the new creation. But the anointing that is on your life, you are only going to get it in the secret place with your Lord.
Intimacy.
Intimacy. There's no getting around it. There's no getting around it.
Mm-mm.
I mean, all the stories in the Bible.
And it's really good in there. It's a good time in there, I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 So we're going to end this conversation. And I'd like for my daughter to Minister Cunningham to pray us out.
Bless His name.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Jesus. Hey, boo. We thank You for this time that we had in You. We thank You for all that we shared, all that was imparted, God. We just come to You right now with just a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, God, for all that You are and all that You've done. There is so much more to You than we even know at this very moment, God, and we are excited about continuing to develop our relationship and our intimacy with You, Father God. I thank You and I bless those that will listen and bless those who will listen and share with others. And as a virus that just invades everything, we thank You that Your word will touch every nation, every heart, all of Your creation, God, that there is no place That you won't go. There's no person you don't want to reach, God. So we thank you that the words that have been spoken today will go to the far corners of the earth, God. Bless the listener. Bless those who even came up with the idea of this broadcast, Father. And I thank you that there is nothing that is lost in you. We are all found in you. We find ourselves, we find you, and we find our joy and our purpose. So have your way. Continue to bless us in this day. Amen.
Amen. And praise God. Well, thank you for joining me for another afternoon of Declaring the Finished Work. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about this next teaching series, Waiting on God. And the interesting thing is I haven't been able to pull it all together yet. It's coming, but I'm still waiting on God for the waiting on God. Amen. So I just trust God. I believe that he wanted my daughter and I to do these conversations. A lot of times where we're home, you know, we have these conversations about the Lord, and it's a blessing, and it's a blessing to be able to just share some of the conversations that we have with each other, with you. So we love you. You are in our hearts.
Amen.
We may have never met you, but because we are one in the Spirit, that we are all connected. And I love the fact that Jesus has connected us. He has made us to be his body. Mm-hmm. We're his body.
Don't start another whole series. Listen, we're supposed to be ending this. We're supposed to be wrapping it up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's oh, Jesus.
You about Jesus. To get excited
yes,
all over
yes,
again.
Yes, I am. I am. I'm about to roll into another. But anyway, this conversation is ending right now. And God willing, I will be back here with you next week. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.